Settled in and turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you turn in there, we left off. You know, I try every week to encourage us. If you haven't read this epistle that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, I'd ask that you would pick it up this week and read it in its context. It's not just little short quips. You know, we were the ones that put in chapter and verse. We all know that. Paul wrote a letter, and he wrote it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He wrote it to help the believers and to speak to the unbelievers in that spot at that time that they were in, with their society around them and the pressures that they were trying to make each day work for them. Beautiful songs today, because that's basically what Paul was trying to tell them. I mean, God's got this. And all we have to do is saturate our spirit with that assurance. And then this world, it's going to grow strangely dim, as the hymn says. It won't overtake us as it does. So Paul has been instructing them and us through the Spirit's guidance still today in this epistle. He's been telling us about the future of the church, where we're going. There is a rapture of the church. The Lord is coming back, not because Calvary says it, not because Doug says it. It's because God says it. And God is not a liar. His word is yea and amen, it says. It means if he says it, we can take this to the bank, period. Why should we take divine revelation that we have and put human speculation in its place? Well, I don't believe that. I don't think that. I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. That's okay. But it doesn't change what God has in his order one little bit. So he's telling us about the church. What's going to happen with us and how quickly we're going to go. Paul was ready to go 2,000 years ago. This isn't some new doctrinal theory that they came up with. Paul was ready for an imminent return of Jesus Christ. We should be also. So he was telling us about the church. He was also telling us about the future of the unbelieving world that surrounds us here, there, everywhere. What is going to come on this world? And again, we said it last week, but you know, here we, in a sense, have the remedy, the cure for death, and we hold it to ourselves. Paul was trying to encourage them, get it out. Get it out now, because this time is coming. So this section we're in today, one verse, is all we're going to look at. I feel this is Paul again exhorting the believers how they, and let's put we in here, because this word is applicable today. This isn't a dead, this is a living word. It means it's alive and real today. It can activate itself within our hearts, minds, hands, feet, if we allow the Spirit to do that. He's a gentleman. He's not going to grab you and make you go knock on somebody's door. And I don't think that's what he really wants. He just wants us to walk day by day in a way that people would see something different in this world that seems to be spinning out of control. So Paul is exhorting them how to walk prior, or right, you know, now, present, prior to these events that are coming upon the world that there is no way of stopping. So last week I ended with a question. How many people are ready to go to heaven? How many people are ready to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? Wow. There's two differences there. Two differences there. I mean, it's going to be good. Please, don't look at that as a scary time. We're ready to go to heaven, but when that happens, Doug Gibney is going to stand. I pray I can stand. I'll probably be on my face before an almighty God. And there is no excuses. I will give an answer to everything that I've ever done. Everything that I've ever done, whether it's good or bad, to my Lord, so that he might reward me for the things that have been done. Or he might have to say, Doug, I had this set for you, but you let that person walk right through your life, never mentioning once the hope of an eternal life with me in that relationship. So that time is coming. So when I ask, you know, ready to go to heaven? Yes. Ready to stand before the Lord? I am. I'm his. I've got to do it. I've got no way of escaping it. But I think I could be a little more ready. You know? I mean, it's like, how do we prepare for things? Let's go to Maui. Let's go now. Well, I'm not ready. I've got a wife. Why not? I've got a, you know, if it was Craig, all he needs is his flip-flops, a bathing suit, and a tank top. He's gone. But some of us got to get, you know, bags like this to carry into the airport. You know, I'm saying, let's get ready. We don't know when that time is coming. So Paul's instruction in verse 8 that we're going to look at is trying to tell these people, are you ready? And do we know this? You know, and put something in there. Turn to 1 John, if you would. I didn't do this last week. 1 John chapter 2. I'm ready to go to heaven. Why? Well, because my mom was a real religious woman. My sister is a nun. We have all these different statements. And when we're talking about the what's coming on in the church, what's coming on to the world, how we should walk and act and present in this life, I want to be sure. We've got questions in our heads. You ever notice some days you can act like if sainthood was something that could be given to you, you are a saint. If you're in Christ, you're a saint. If you're not in Christ, you ain't. Okay? It's that simple. But did you ever notice that there's some days you just don't feel, I'm not as good as I should be. I'm not doing what I should do. I'm not. We have all these assaults that come into our mind and our heart, and God's trying to tell us, I think, wait a minute, are you in a relationship with me? Because then you're mine and you're going to heaven. In order to fulfill what he's telling these people in Thessalonica, we have to be sure that we are saved, that we are Christ's children, that we are in him, and nothing is going to change that. My actions, my thoughts, my attitudes, we're going if we're in Christ. Otherwise, the things that are coming up in the rest of this epistle are going to be almost impossible to try to carry out on a daily basis. So I asked us to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. We need to be ready. Remember I was saying we go on a trip. Has anybody gone on a trip and packed that morning? Yeah, I guess. And you threw a lot of extra stuff in there that you didn't need, but the real prepared person has everything. We need to prepare for this coming. Not just say, you know, yes, I'm in Christ and I love him and I go to church not every Sunday, but every now and then. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's my daily, moment by moment, thought, heart, actions when I step out there. It's a being. It's who I am. And that's what John is saying here in verse 28, and now, little children, and that's who we are, abide. And that word abide in the Greek means take up residence. It's just not, you know, every now and then showing up. Abide in him, that means to dwell, to take up residence, to be there. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, and that's any day, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It's easier to take care of things right now while we still have breath than it will be that day when we're ready to go to heaven, but I'm going to stand before my Lord. It would be easier to take care of some things that I know I need to do in my life today, tomorrow, or the next day, work on it, than it would be, because there's going to be no working on it that day when we open our eyes. And I pray it's, you know, it'd be great right here in church, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great to be like saying the closing prayer and open our eyes and he's just sitting there smiling? Wouldn't that be, you know, that'd be the best that you can ask for. But I have time today, so I need to get ready. While you're in John, turn to Peter. We're going back to Thessalonians. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. So we know these things. We know about the rapture, right? We know about the second coming. We have different thoughts as Christians. Different churches think, well, there's a pre-trib, a post-trib, a mid-trib. Some don't think there's any trib. Some think, well, you know, it's all going to work out. We don't know. I don't even know if it's really going to happen. I'm just going to die, and then what? God doesn't want us there. God doesn't want us there. As we're reading what Paul is telling these Thessalonians, God wants an assured God wants us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. So look at, you know, and so a lot of us know these things. Verse 11, and this is Peter mentioning this to the believers, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What things? The things that we strive for every day, the things that we worry about, the things that we give ourselves ulcers over, the things that we think are going to happen that never happen, the things that are coming on this world that will happen, seeing that these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be? And I've got Doug in there, Doug. In all holy conversation or lifestyle. See, conversation is not just my mouth. It's easy to say, praise the Lord. It's easy to say, oh, you know, I love the Lord. But then, for some reason, my life outside of the church, by myself, when I'm not around other Christians, that lifestyle changes a little bit. And I feel the Spirit is asking me, and I pray He's touching somebody, how should you be in your holy lifestyle? And godliness. And 12, are we looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, where the heavens will be on fire and be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, 13, we look for the new heaven and earth wherein dwells righteousness. Are we ready to go? Are we really looking for that? Oh, yeah, I am. But, you know, I mean, it's going to be a great snowboarding season. I just want a couple more runs. I know that spring is going to come, and there's going to be some great trout that me and Tommy have to catch. God wants us to be fishers, right? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, be diligent that you might be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Wow. So it's kind of a motivation. So let's get back to Thessalonians. What is Paul saying to them? What's he trying to say to me today? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. So seeing we know all this stuff, you know, whenever I sit here and I read, I have this, you know, there's a thought in my head. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm not telling you anything you haven't read or shouldn't have read. I'm not telling you, and I hope it's affirming, or it's something that would get us moving, get me moving. So Paul is saying, since you know about this rapture, since you know that some of your loved ones, some of the people that you hold dear and call friend, are going to be in an eternal separation from me and my love, what kind of person should that make me today? Do I really know that? Do I really believe that? And if I'm saved and going, what is it that I should do? And here, and that's what we all want. Well, what do you want me to do? Right? How many people have said that to you when you're kind of insinuating they haven't done something? Well, what do you want me to do? Just tell me. I've had people leave this church in the past because I would not tell them what to do. I have no authority in that. I can just give you the goals, the signposts that God says, and He says them to me. If anybody wants to know what is it that I can do to prepare, to start to get ready, I feel Paul puts it in here in verse 8 very clearly, and then he moves on to some little extras, if you would. But verse 8 says, but, and underline that, but. That means he's changing a thought here. You know all this stuff, right? You know that the rapture is coming. You know that judgment is coming on the world. You know that this stuff is happening. So he says, but let us, and who's that us? It's us, isn't it? Us, those who believe. So if you are a believer, if you say you're in Christ, if you know from that John that you are one of His, then we have to take this and take it personal. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Father God, I do not want to rush this. And I just ask that we would hear what Your Spirit is saying to each one of us this morning, that You would place in my heart at least the thought and the meditation on those things that You're trying to get through to me. This world cries for the allegiance constantly. Father God, help me to get still sometime, somewhere, someplace this week, that I might hear You. Father, that I might just share those things with You that I know have kept me from what you're asking right here. And that you, Father, through that unfailing love, would just continue to pick us up, hold us, show us that it's going to be okay, that we are going to spend that time with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So back to us. Break it down. But let us who are of the day be sober. Of the day. What does that mean? We're of the day. Today. And a lot of us live for today, don't we? We complain about our children. And, you know, mine aren't here, so that's good. I can talk about them. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, we live for the day. You don't even give a thought about the future. That's the problem with what generation are they in now? I mean, we've had all these lettered generations, Generation X, you know, whatever it is. But we say of this present generation that all they think about is today. Have you ever heard that? They don't worry about saving. They don't worry about giving. They don't worry about helping. They don't worry about a future. They don't worry about the decisions that they're making today. That's going to mold them, shape them, and form them into the person they're going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now. That's all, you know, I badgered my children with that. What are you going to do when you're 60? I don't know. You know, I hope I'm not like you, as Jason always used to tell me. Am I thinking about the future? And since I'm children of the day, is that all I'm thinking about is today? That means that we're children of the light. That means we're children of the Lord. That means we're saved and going to heaven. Romans chapter 13. Do you know for sure again? And if the answer is yes, then this pertains to each one of us. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of a sleep. Remember, Paul was talking about sleep. Those who sleep, sleep in the night. And that's a very common thing. You generally, unless your work schedule changes that, you sleep during the evening. And if you're drunk, you get drunk unless you're a day drinker. You know, you get drunk at night. He just told us all this. And here he is saying, knowing the time that it's now high time to wake out of a sleep. Yes. Wake up. Some of us, you know, it's apathy that has taken over the Christian society, if you would. Apathy towards the fact that Christ is returning and some of our loved ones are going to spend eternity in hell. I don't want to rattle their cage. I don't want to say anything. Just learn how to say, I love you. Is that hard? Is that something that's, you know, I love you so much, I want to spend eternity with you. And just open the door and let Christ in there. It's time to awake out of this sleep that we've been in, thinking I got tomorrow. Thinking, you know, it's today, it's just this day. Don't worry about that, Doug. The Lord might not come back for 100 years. He might come back tonight. He might come back for any one of us today. Through whatever that calamity might be that strikes us. It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How many have been saved? You know, 5 years? Yeah. 10 years? Yeah. 40 years? It's nearer than that day in 1979 when I said, yes, Lord, please, I'm a mess. I need you. That day of salvation is so much nearer now than it was back then. He can come at any time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light, children of the day. Put it on. Put on the armor today. Not waiting till tomorrow. This isn't you, Katie. You've already put it on. But, well, after I have this baby, I'll do that. After I get married, I'll do that. After we buy this new house and move in and move our stuff, I'll do that. That's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying today, today, put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. That means decently. As in the day, not in, look at how he puts these together. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envy. Strife and envy is just as bad in his mind as some of the other stuff. If there's strife in your home today, please, I'm saying to you, end it. End it in the name of Jesus. Get on your faces. If you can't get on your face, get on your knees. Pray and stop the strife. If there's envy of anything, somebody else's husband, wife, children, house, money, job, IRA, if there's any of that kind of envy, get rid of it today. Because God is looking at this as bad as rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness. And you know what that is. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We are in a battle, guys. This isn't a game. This mind is telling me one thing. This heart is saying another. And when we take the thoughts of this mind and allow them to get into the heart, it comes out in the limbs. This is a battle. And the only way you're going to make it out of this, and I'm going to make it out of this, is putting on the armor of God. So, look what I got. Look what I got. Craig, I want you to come up and put this on. A helmet and a shield. You know, these are important things. But that's all. Go back to Thessalonians. This is important. This is, you know, is it that simple? Yes, it is. But let us who are of the day be sober, and that sober means clear-minded, right thinking, Christ thinking, not drunk. Am I saying anybody who has a drink, you're going to hell? No, I'm not. The Word of God doesn't say anything about not drinking, but it says do not drink in excess. But see, we always focus on being sober as being, you know, alcohol. I think what the Spirit is saying is there should be no excess in anything to be sober, whether it be drinking, drugs, food, sex, my house, my car, my body, what I look like. He's saying be sober because his time is coming. Clear-minded. Start thinking. God gave us minds. Why have we let them be polluted by stuff out there? Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, these are the three cardinal characteristics of a Christian, you know, faith, hope, and love. And Paul puts these on to get us ready. He's saying, get this on. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So I started thinking about that. Put it on. It means daily. Oh, I got saved, you know, in 1979. So? Sometimes that's all. We get saved and we feel that assurance. We bought a fire insurance policy and that's about all. We put it in the safe and we leave it there. When the tense that this is on, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, what he's saying is put it on like you did today, the clothes that you have on. None of us walked in here with our boxer shorts on, did we? And you know, can you say that in church? We every day we prepare. Don't we? We, you know, today I had two shirts on. One because Pat said, you know, I wore it a couple times. It was comfortable. It was all broken. We put on our clothes to make sure we look good, to make sure it looks right, make sure it maybe matches to a degree. We put on makeup, don't we? And even you ladies put it on, I'm sure. We put on some... Do you think he could look that good without any help? We do this every day, right? We put it on. We make sure before we step out the house. And what Paul is saying is put on. And he starts off with the breastplate. Here's a guy that was chained to Roman soldiers. Here's a guy that was looking at these guys walking around with helmets and breastplate. You know, the breastplate was something that, for the Romans, it went from their neck down to here. It protected every vital organ that they had in a battle. We are in a battle. And Paul's trying to tell the church, get ready, get dressed. Don't go out there naked. Put it on every single day. Not just once, not when I'm thinking about it, but before I walk out, be sure I have the armor of God on, just like my clothes. Faith in God, faith and love, faith in God, faith and dependence on Him, as we've said, that He is yea and amen, and He's going to do it. You're in a battle today, but maybe that battle isn't just persecution and being a Christian. You're in a battle for your faith. You're in a battle for your marriage. You're in a battle for whatever finances, whatever children. Faith in God that He's going to take this. I've got this. Don't worry about it. Now that's really a breastplate. Why? Because the enemy comes in. and tries to change all of that. So if we have faith in God, dependence, I think the love will come. Love for the Lord. Do I really love him? And if I do really love him, I'm going to love others. I'm going to love everybody in here. That envy and strife that was in there, I'm going to love those people that are out there. Oh, you know, that's, I'm an Irish ex-New York City cop, and I'm going to love some punk out there. I'm going to love some guy that, you know, deserves to just be kicked out to the curb. God says yes, because that was you one day. And that was you one day. And that was even you one day. Ori, as beautiful as God has done with you, every one of us were there. And he's saying, put on the breastplate. Every one of us need it every single day, just as if we were putting on our clothes. And that love will come. His next one, I'm going to finish it. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So those, you know, why did they wear a helmet? Because they faced some pretty nasty people that didn't think anything about hitting them in the head with a club or whacking them with a sword or throwing things. And I had this beautiful visual display today in Pattleteia. I left it all up in the loft. I had my helmet collection. So Paul is telling each one of us this morning, put on a helmet. A helmet. We have helmets for skiing, don't we? We put those on. Craig and I have finally woke up after all these years. We put a helmet on for snowboarding. I rode motorcycles. I've got one helmet for the Harley, you know, just a nice, cool looking small bucket. But when we ride dirt bikes, and if you ever ride with Craig, you put the one on that has a mouthpiece on it and it comes down the neck with a little roll on it. That's our dirt bikes. Helmets do what? Protect our head. Why should we protect our head? Because severe injury can come without one of those, in one of those areas. I had my police riot helmet, and it is peppered with holes and dents, well, not holes, but dents and dings, and I can tell you almost every one of those. I can tell you which one was a rock. I can tell you which one was a bottle. I can tell you one in the front that was a golf club that a guy put to my head one day. I had that on. I wouldn't walk out into a riot without it. Why are we walking out into this world without the helmet, which is the hope of our salvation? Why do we do it? We step out in the world. We don't have that breastplate on. Our heart gets assailed immediately. We don't have the helmet on. We walk out there and bam, you're blindsided by the enemy or something that's just natural out there. And we're ready to fold. We're ready to give up. Please. Envision, if you would, as Paul did, as he saw that Roman soldier. Why is he wearing that breastplate? Why is he doing? You know what? Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. We all know this one, right? This is the armor of God. But what Paul is saying, what the Spirit of God is saying is, Doug, you need to put this on every single morning. Don't worry about what will I look like? You know, how many of us have put on clothes and thought that? Well, this makes me look a little pudgy. Well, this makes me look a little funny. Oh, that's a goofy looking shirt, you know? Don't worry about what the breastplate, don't worry about the helmet, what you look like in that. You're protected. You're ready for that battle that we're walking out into. So Ephesians 6 starts in 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Too many of us, and some in this body right now, we're walking out of here without a helmet, without our hearts being protected, without our vital personal parts being, you know, attacked. We're just going out there every day. And that injury that we take gets worse and worse and worse. And what Paul is saying, you can't go out there in your own power. Remember the armor. But be strong in the power of the Lord. I can't do this anymore. I can't take this anymore. I don't know how I'm going to get through today. Paul's telling us right there. Do it. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But Lord, I'm done. What did Paul say? When I am weak, he's strong. He doesn't want us thinking that we can handle all this stuff. That's why we're in relationship with him. Be strong in his power. Put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece. So when I went into a riot, you know, the unfortunate thing back in the late 60s and 70s, we didn't have bulletproof vests unless you were on a SWAT team, and then the thing looked like a life jacket, you know, that weighed 50 pounds and you were walking like this. Put it on. Put on this breastplate. Well, what is that breastplate? What is he talking about? Why do I need this whole armor? I need the breastplate, and just not that, because in the head. So I need the helmet. I need my feet. And listen to what he said, how that armor comes out. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the town of Nedelin and the people who don't like you. It's not what it says. The wiles of the enemy, see, that's strategy. And the enemy is playing you and I like a chess game. Every single day, when we just forget, I don't need that, I don't need that, I don't need him, I don't need her, I'll just go my own way. The enemy is playing us like a chess game, and he's putting it up there, and we're just pawns in his game, and he's after the king, okay? Just like anything else, Paul is saying that you, Doug, might be able to stand against the wiles, and see what he gets me with. He can't get you with the stuff he gets me. Maybe he can. He doesn't attack you or Nina or Maria or Taffy with some of the things that he gets me. He's got a strategy for everyone. And God is saying, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not your wife if there's strife and envy in the house today. It's not your children if they're running amok, if they're on drugs or they don't respect you. It's not them to a degree. It says because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God believes it. We're in a battle. Yes. This is not to be taken lightly. You are going to sustain some serious injury this week. I'm going to sustain some serious injury this week unless I go out there protected in the one I say I love. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Just because we got the armor on doesn't mean everything's going to be beautiful. I got whacked in the head with a golf club from a guy. Praise God, I had my helmet on, and I was able to very nicely say, excuse me, young man, would you mind coming with me to the police station? I mean, that's not how it went down. I was okay because I had something on there, but there was still a battle going on. There are still things going to happen. He's saying, just put the armor on so that when you do get attacked and when something does get you, you'll be able to withstand that. And then after that's done, you'll be able to stand again. So he's not telling us everything's going to be beautiful. He's telling us we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready for this onslaught that's coming. Stand, verse 14. Having your loins girt about with the truth. That's our personal parts. Having your loins girt about with truth. What truth? God's truth. Well, he said this and she said that and this one hurt me and this. What does God say? What does God say? We need to start standing on that. Having on a breastplate of righteousness. And I wanted to go into Isaiah 59. You know, when the Lord went into battle in Isaiah in chapter 59, he wore the breastplate of righteousness. That's what this faith and love is. So if our Lord put on a breastplate of faith and righteousness, how much more for us? How much more are we needing this? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know, one fiery dart can do the whole job on us. Doesn't take hundreds and thousands and, you know, giant magazines of his fiery darts. 17, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Don't ever forget 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. Faith, love is the breastplate for each one of us that needs to be put on. That means just, you know, guard our heart. Get it covered with what God says, because the enemy is trying to shoot those barbs, those fiery darts in your situation today. Whether it be something right now or it's just that thought of the future. I can't be bothered with heaven right now. I can't be bothered with living that life right now. I have to. That's why we need our heart covered. And above that, he tells us, get the helmet, the hope of salvation. And not the hope, oh, I hope I'm saved. Remember, we had that scripture. We're saved, right? If you have Christ, you're saved. If you don't have Christ, you're not. It's that simple. When I put that helmet on, it's not, oh, I hope. What was the cowardly lion? Oh, I do. Remember, you just got to believe. That's not what it is. The hope of salvation is, I'm hoping for him to come and get me out of this mess soon. Not that it might happen, it's going to happen, and that hope is it could be today. It could be today in your life and my life. Protect my mind, protect our thoughts is what Paul is saying, because it's that simple. In the physical, as we saw with armor of the soldiers, of anybody in battle, anybody who's done that stuff. It'd be like you guys, would you run into the fire without your Scott air packs when the building is completely engulfed, without your helmet? Without your gloves and your pants and your jackets, those were made to protect you. Well, I think I'm all right. Dennis, let me run in there to the 32nd floor. I don't care if it's on fire and smoky. I don't need an air pack. See, that's what happens with what we're reading here about needing Jesus Christ in our lives. You are unprotected today if you leave this building without Jesus Christ in your life, saying, I need you, Lord. I receive you, Lord. Here I am. Because the whole battle, the whole association of armor, it starts right here. Right here. So my mind says, because my parents used to say, not my parents, well, Dad used to say, the only purpose your head serves is to keep your two ears apart. That didn't bother me so much. But some children here, you're worthless. You're nothing. You'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever love you. What good are you? Get out, you know. It starts up here with all that voice. But then God puts something else in there when we know him, and he says, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're my child. My thoughts to you today are more than the sand and the sea and the stars in the sky. See, that's putting on a helmet. Wait a minute, I feel a little worthless today. I don't feel love today. I don't feel comfort today. I don't feel this or whatever it might be. You put the helmet on. Listen to what God's saying. I sent my son. My one and only son to die for you, Doug Gibney, as miserable of a wretch that you were, that's how much I love you. Then I get my breastplate on because the enemy says, oh, yeah, well, I can't get into your thoughts anymore. Boom, my heart got hurt on that today. Oh, I feel broken today. Oh, I'm just so sick. You ever get, see, it starts here and then it comes down into the heart and into the, doesn't really go into your heart. Doc will tell us it's just a non-mechanical pump, right? Does the heart feel? I don't know. But when God says to protect our heart, put on that breastplate, he's saying about all that stuff, and you've felt it. You've had your lives, you almost feel like you're going down on an elevator, don't you? Somehow that got in there because we weren't protected, and we were ready to give up. We were ready to throw in the towel. It starts in my thinking. It goes down into my heart, and then when that happens, it all comes out in these four little appendages. My hands, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to go over there and say hi to her. Let her come to me. Get out of my life. Do you see how important one little verse and one little piece of spiritual clothing could be? All I'm asking, I guess, today is consider it. Look at it. The spiritual armor is right there. It's not even in your closet, up in the top like my helmets were this morning, right, Ma? It's right there. It's right here. Put it on. Just like that. See, he's on there saying, you know how much I love you? You know how much I love you? This much. You don't even have to move to just say thank you. Get it on. What's the problem today that the enemy is assailing your thoughts with, that there's no hope, there's no life worth living tomorrow, that everything is going to fall apart, I'll never make it through this? How many of us have ever said, I'm not going to make it through this, like 10 years ago? We're still sitting here today because the Lord of salvation is watching over each and every one of us. But, let's be sober. Those of us who are in Christ, put on the breastplate of faith and love. and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Father God, thank you for loving us so. It just, these things seem so simple, it's almost impossible. Or it seems so hard, Lord, to release everything that we've held so dear all these years, to believe in such a word as that. But show us how it's not us, it's you. It's not me dying, Father. It's you who died, that gave me this life. It's you, Father, that's going to carry me through this life until that time that we're reading about happens. And we will make it because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
So, Doug, I just...
You want to wear the helmet. I know.